Welcome to What CEOs Talk About. Do you wonder what CEOs talk about behind closed doors? How they bring their vision to reality? How do they overcome and succeed through adversity? We share that and so much more with each episode. Now, let's get started with the show.
Good day, everybody. My name is Martin Hunter. I am the host. I'm the host of What CEOs Talk About talk show, where the host can't talk because he's mixing words up. And today, Jose, thank you very much for being on the show. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you, Martin. Thank you for the invitation. I'm really happy to be here.
Jose, before we get into the title of the show, can you please tell us what your name is, what do you do, and what's your role, and what's your company, what's your business?
Yes, so my name is Jose Aspieri. I'm the CEO and owner of the company called Evergreen Adventures. We provide private, unique, exclusive private tours in the Vancouver area and the Lower Mainland, especially based in Vancouver, but we go far as Squamish, Whistler, Victoria, and the Fraser Valley.
Exploring the beautiful British Columbia.
Exactly. Trying to showcase the best of British Columbia to the world.
When it's not raining, flooding, heat dome.
Exactly.
all those wonderful things.
We had so many different challenges with the weather last year and the beginning of this year as well, as you know.
So thank you, Jose. So like every other guest that we invite on What CEOs Talk About, you get to pick the title of the show. So you had time, because we spoke a couple weeks back, so you've had time to think about it. So what is the title of the show, Jose?
So the title of the show is going to be, If You Dream It, You Can Build It.
Fabulous. Dream it and build it. So tell us your story, Jose. Tell us way back when, and tell us how you grew up and challenges you faced, and to kind of take us up to being the CEO of your current company.
Yeah, so everything goes back to, I was born and raised in a city called Puebla, which is central Mexico. Mm-hmm. I had the opportunity to come to Canada when I was 13 years old. My parents sent me to learn English in the province of Saskatchewan, in a small town called Prince Albert, Saskatchewan. So that's the first time, that was my first experience for Canada. But luckily,
your parents were awful parents sending you to Saskatchewan from Mexico.
I know. Luckily, that was in the summertime. It was not winter time.
Good.
So I had a good time with that family. We became really good friends. The year after, the guy that I stay with, he went down to Mexico and spent summer with us. And then the following year, they invited me over again to Saskatchewan. And then they rent an RV and we drove from Prince Albert all the way to Vancouver for the expo in 1986.
Wow.
So that's when I basically discovered the real Canada. You know, we drove through the Canadian Rockies, Banff, Lake Louise, Jasper, and then we arrived to Vancouver, and I was like, wow, what a beautiful city. So I always had in mind, like, you know, I was only 15 years old back then, and I said to myself, one day I'll move to Canada. So time passed. I went to school in Mexico. I studied business administration as my bachelor's degree in the University of Iberoamericana, which is a private university in Mexico. Mm-hmm. And I was working there as a sales manager for an important manufacturing water pumps company down in Mexico. Mm-hmm. And one day I was driving in my hometown and I saw a vehicle with BC plates again. And my mind starts, you know, dreaming about, you know, Canada again. I'm like, wow, what a, you know, it's been a long time since I've been to Canada. So I was just married back then. I told my wife, why don't we explore the opportunity to go to Canada? Let's find out what are the requirements to move legally to Canada and see if we can, you know, if we can do it. So she's like, what? Are you crazy? Where are we going to do in Canada? So I keep, you know, dreaming. And I went to the Canadian Embassy in Mexico City, find out where were the requirements to move up here. They gave me a bunch of lists of things that I had to go through. But I was working. I was not in a hurry to move here. And so I submit all the my application with all the documents that they asked me for. And they told me, that process is going to take you about 2 years, the whole process. And I said, fine, you know, I'm not in a hurry to come up here. Mm-hmm. And 6 months after, they called me. They said, hey, Jose, we look at your profile with your documents, and we want you and your wife to come to Mexico City to the embassy for an interview. Okay, fine. So we drove there, and we got into this office with a really tall, big Canadian officer. I remember that. And she right away, she asked me, okay, you are going to answer all the questions in English, but your wife, she can answer all the questions in Spanish. I was like, why? What's the difference, you know?
Yeah.
And then she started basically asking me all my life back then, what I was planning to do, what I was doing in Mexico. And I think she was trying to see, you know, what we were trying to do in Canada. And after 1 hour of interview, she said, okay, you guys been approved, but you have to tell me right now, because I have to put it down here, where in Canada you want to live. And I was like, okay. Back then I only knew Prince Albert, Saskatchewan, a little bit of the Rockies, Vancouver. And just a few months that interview, I had the opportunity to go to Montreal in February, and it was super cold. And
you said, no.
Yeah, that was the first time I felt like my ears and my nose was going to fall off, you know, and I like, no. And I don't speak French, so I said, like, no, probably Vancouver will be the best choice. And that's how, you know, we got approved, and we decide 6 months after that interview, because that was the deadline. She said, in 6 months, you have to enter Canada. If not, then all the paperwork and you have done is you have to start
disappears
again.
Yeah, oh my.
So yeah, then we told the family I have to quit my job, and everyone like, what are you gonna do in Canada? I don't know. I didn't have a job, I didn't have any friends up here, only I knew one person in Vancouver, and that's it, you know. So it was a tough decision to take back then. But I don't regret about it. So yeah, that's how the story started. You know, we landed in Vancouver. I came in advance just to rent an apartment and buy a car, buy a bed, buy something, you know, just to land here. And my wife, she came a month after, and then she came with our first son, he was going to be only 1 year old. So yeah, that's how we landed and start, you know, living.
God love the government, right? For saying, oh, it'll take 2 years, 6 months down. And then they say it'll take 6 months, then it takes 2 years. There's never that kind of middle ground where they actually, no, that's so now you're in Canada. I like how they make you choose from places to places, and you go, where do you want to go? Well, let me think about it. I think I want to go from Mexico to the Yukon, where it's minus a million degrees.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I knew that after that, the government was telling new immigrants where to go. I think at the time when I moved, I was able to still choose where I wanted to come. But a few years after, I knew that they were asking, because as you know, some towns are losing people, so they rather send the new immigrants to those small towns, like in the Yukon or in Saskatchewan, or you know, some small towns in Alberta.
Absolutely. Okay, so now you're in Canada, you have no clue what to do. Like, you're like, okay, I've got a degree, I can speak English, I've got a house, I got a car. What's the first thing that goes through your mind? What did you start doing?
Yeah, so I started trying to find a job right away. Actually, I was applying from Mexico for some job interviews, and some companies were responding to me saying, "Where are you already in Canada?" I was saying, "No, not yet. I'll be there in 2 or 3 months." They said, "No, sorry, we cannot do any interviews until you are here." Mm-hmm. So basically, I landed without any jobs. I started applying for different jobs, and within a month of landing, I had my first job interview with a company called Kiwi Collection, and they were a company that it was a time when the websites of the hotels were really bad. When you were looking at a website of a hotel, let's say in Cancun, and you were looking at the picture of the room, and it was dark, small, you can't even have an idea if that was the real room, how it looked. So this company was trying to develop the websites as they are right now, with big pictures, nice images, and really clear information about the hotels. So they wanted somebody to speak Spanish and start approaching hotels all the way from Mexico down to Argentina to start, you know, promoting these new services for the hotels. But it was pretty much more like an exclusive hotels. So more like a luxury hotel, like a small boutique hotels or luxury chain brands. And that's how I started. So I didn't have any clue of hotels in Latin America. And then I started doing my own research and calling, you know, the hotels, the general managers or the director of sales, trying to promote this service that we were doing here in Canada. And it was really well accepted, because back then, as I said, the websites of these hotels were really bad. Mm-hmm. And they were trying to jump into that new technology and trying to get a better exposure of the hotels. So that's how I started in this kind of tourism industry. Mm-hmm. And then I was working for that company for about 2 years, 2.5 years. Then during that time, we got the opportunity, because when we landed, we were just first renting. Mm-hmm. So we got the opportunity now to buy a property. Mm-hmm. And my neighbor next door, basically, he was a guy from Taiwan that a receptive tour operators for the Asian market. Mm-hmm. So one day, you know, he was doing barbecue and I was on the other side of my fence and he's like, "Hey neighbor, hi neighbor." So we start talking about what he was doing, what I was doing, and he said, "Hey Jose, I feel like I would like to explore the Latin American market that comes to Canada. So can you help me to find out who are the competitors and what can I do?" So I said, "Sure." So I did a market research of the local receptive operators for the Latin American market here in mm-hmm. Canada. So I present that to him. So then he asked me to hire somebody that speaks Spanish to work for him, because I was working for the other company. Mm-hmm. And he said, "Fine." So I found this person for him. And then 2 months or 3 months after, I saw him again on the barbecue again outside. And I said, "Hey, Roy, how's it going?" And he said, "You know what? This guy, I don't get along with him. I don't, you know, we're not connected. Why don't you come and work for me?" And I was like, "But I don't know anything about inbound business for Canada." So he said, "Oh, don't worry, Jose, I'll teach you." So then I quit my job at the TV. Mm-hmm. And then I came and worked for this guy. And that's how I started to develop the inbound business. Mm-hmm. I went to a few trade shows in Latin America trying to introduce ourselves. But it was mm-hmm. a company that was not well known down in Mexico, because mm-hmm. they were dealing primarily with the Asian market. Mm-hmm. So then I slowly started, you know, creating and building that relationships with some travel agencies and tour operators down in Mexico mm-hmm. and the rest of the Latin America. And that's how I started getting into this industry where I am right now. So I worked for him for a few years, you know, building good relationships with clients and building sales, pretty much, you mm-hmm. know, getting new leads and really good accounts from Mexico. But since I had a little bit of exposure with Kiwi on the luxury market, mm-hmm. I was trying to develop that inbound business also for the luxury travelers, you know. Mm-hmm. I knew that the other operators that were dealing with those markets in Latin America, they were specializing basically in the budget, you know, product mm-hmm. and, you know, 2-3 star hotels, regular tours instead of doing private tours, yeah. things like that. So we start getting more into that luxury sector, and it was really well accepted because there was a need for that in that mm-hmm. market. And yeah, and then I worked for that neighbor for a few years. Then our main competitor for that market, I think they noticed what I was doing, and they approached me one day and asked me to come and work for them. So yeah, they made me a really nice offer. And so, but I felt bad because, you know, I had my neighbor living next to me who was my boss. And I say, "Roy, this is what these guys are putting on the table. Just match it. You know, if you just match it, I'll continue with you. I'm loyal to you because you are my teacher, you know?
Yeah,
he said, you know, Jose, sorry, it's a great opportunity for you, and I cannot match that. So you should take it. So he was really nice. And
oh, good.
But he asked me to find somebody to work for him. So I had to do that too. And yeah, then I worked for this other company, but I noticed that they did that in order to move me out of their
competition.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it was a strategic move from this other company to do that. And when I started working for them, they basically put me in one office. They kind of like freeze me there, and they didn't want me to contact clients anymore. They didn't want me to do what I was doing pretty much all this time. So I felt that right away, and within a year, I said, you know what, I cannot stay in this company anymore. And then I quit. I basically quit. And then I sent an email to the people in the industry that I knew. And then one of the main tour operators in Canada for the luxury market that I met a few months before that decision that I took, he responded to me, Mark Tellio. His name is Mark Tellio, company called Entree Destinations. He replied to me, say, Jose, I'm interested. Let's talk. I'm getting a lot of requests from Latin America. Nobody's taking, you know, I don't have anyone in my staff that speaks Spanish and knows that market. I would like to have you on board. So yeah, I went and talked to Mark. I think we made a good connection. But it's funny. He said, you know, Jose, I'm just going to make a contract for 1 year. If you don't bring results in a year, I will have to let you go. I said, I'll take the risk, you know?
Yeah, that's an honest offer. Yeah,
exactly. So I did. I took it. And long story short, I worked for him for 8 years. So that means, you know, he liked me. So I learned a lot from him and his company. He's the number one tour operator for luxury market in Canada. He deals with a lot of travel agencies from all over the world. And we were doing that same inbound business for the rich and famous. We were having a lot of artists, politicians, or just wealthy families, you know, from multi-generations. And but we were using that company was subcontracting all the services. Once the people landed in Vancouver, they were subcontracting, like, for example, private transportation, private tours, everything with different local companies. But they didn't own the fleet of the vehicles. They didn't have the tour guides or things like that. So after working all these years with him, I realized that one of the companies that he was using for the private tours, the owner was ready to retire. You know, he was in the business already for 25 years. And so somebody in the company said one day, what's going to happen when this guy retires? Who's going to be doing these now, the private tours for us? And that's when my, you know, again, I was like, okay, there's an opportunity there. So I called the owner of that company. I invited him to go for a coffee. And I said, I didn't want to mention his name. So I said, hey, what's your plan? Is anyone in your family taking over the business or what's going to happen?
Yeah, yeah.
So he said, what, are you interested in buying my company? I said, well, that's what I am here for, you know, just to see what are your thoughts, you know, what are you expecting for your company in the future? He said, well, if you're interested in buying, let's talk, because I'm really interested in maybe starting to plan my retirement, and I want to see if I can sell my company. Sure. So we start talking, and it was a good approach because, you know, I knew the tour side of the business, the industry, and also my wife, she's a chef. So she, in this company that this guy was running, he was doing some tours with the culinary part, you know, where he was setting up really nice picnic lunches. And when the guests were arriving, everything was set up on the tables in the really beautiful locations. So it was a perfect match. So we can incorporate the culinary skills from my wife and the knowledge of the tourism side from my side. And I was a nice fit for him to do that. So after a year, you know, we talked, I was just expecting for a number. And I said, hey, I need to know how much you want for your company? Because I need to know if I need to get a second mortgage for my home, yeah, or how I'm going to finance that new challenge, you know, that new project. So after a year, he said, Jose, you know what? I feel like next year is going to be another great year for tourism. So I don't want to give up my baby yet. So I was a little disappointed. So because I thought he was so ready to sell. Mm-hmm. And I was ready to do whatever I had to do in order to buy that that company. So he said, no, I'm not selling. So I was a little bit disappointed. And I talked to my wife and I, you know what? Why don't we build this from zero? Let's mm-hmm. get his business model and make it better. You know, mm-hmm. have better vehicles, better tour guides, better uniforms for our tour guides, have more options of languages for our tour guides, not just English. Let's do also, you know, we speak Spanish. Let's offer good guides that speak Spanish, Portuguese, Italian, French, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there's a lot of tourists from not just the US. There's tourists mm-hmm. from all over the world. So that's what we did. But I was still doing that while I was still working for my previous company.
Yeah.
So I was building that on the weekends, on my free time, coming from office at 6 p.m. and working from 6 till 10 or 12 some days just to build get the name, the logos, the website. So when I was ready, and also getting all the permits, you know, Transportation Canada and all those permits takes a long time. So it took me another year to get everything ready, and I didn't have to pay that much money instead of buying a company. Mm-hmm. So that was a good thing of it. And then when I was ready to go live, I had to tell my former boss, you know, say, yeah. So I invite him over for a coffee. So as soon as I took him for a coffee, he knew something was going on. You know?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So he said, "Hey, Jose, are you quitting?" And I said, "No, no, no. I'm leaving the company, but I have a good news and a bad news for you." And he said, "Okay, tell me the good news." So I said, "I'm gonna be your new vendor." I said, "He was like, what? A new vendor? Yeah, I'm gonna be your new company that's going to be doing the private tours for you." So he's like, "Really? Wow." And he knew that it was the other company. Eventually, this guy will have to sell or will have to retire. Yeah. So he didn't have like a plan B of what to do if these guys
quit. Stop, you know? Retire, whatever. Yeah.
Exactly. So I think I came just in the perfect moment. And then, yeah, so he knew who I was. I was working for him for 8 years.
Eight years, yeah.
Exactly. And then I knew the type of clients that he was handling, because I was dealing with those clients all the time under travel agencies that he was working with. And it was good fit. So I started in 5 years ago. So we go live in January, actually, 5 years ago. And no regrets. It's been an interesting way to get up here, but at the beginning I had only that account, and he was sending me few pieces of business. He didn't took all the business out of the other guy and sending everything to me right away, because I think he wanted to try me first.
Of course.
And that's what happened. But also I said myself, I cannot depend just on one client. I need to start, you know, building more clients in for the company. So I went and start knocking on people's doors, and I went to approach the different hotels in the city, the five-star hotels in the city, mm-hmm. and offered, you know, the services of what we do, private tours with different guys, luxury vehicles. So we bought, you know, really nice cars, all black, fully equipped, comfortable, and you know, we have little things inside the car that makes the difference. You know, we have a nice cooler with water, mm-hmm. we have hand sanitizer, right now it's hand sanitizer, mm-hmm. but we had it back in the time, and we had cookies that my wife makes. So we have a jar with cookies, so the guests get to try those cookies while they're on the tour. They love them, and at the end of the tour they always said, "Hey, where can I get more cookies?" And I said, "Sorry, that's all we had in the car." But what they don't know, we have a really nice box that says, with a sticker with our brand and a little note that says, thank you. So we send that to the guest room. So after the tour, when we drop them off at the hotel, they walk into the room and they can see that box. And they love those little details.
Oh, absolutely. I think that paying attention to your customers, what's the value that you add, right? And think of the journey of how do you facilitate. I mean, the story that you're telling us is really the embodiment of the title, is you dream it, you make it happen. 13 years old, I want to move to Canada, and here we are.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, 20 plus years later, and now you're inviting people, you're welcoming people. I think that's absolutely beautiful in regards to dream it and make it happen. I think there's so much more in your story as well, that, you know, you came here with no job. And that's what a lot of people tend to forget, is everybody in Canada, at the, well, even sometimes the First Nations that came across, but everybody that comes to Canada is the son or daughter, the child of an immigrant. Mm-hmm. Who came, regardless, 1800s, 1700s, 1800s, 1900s, that came to Canada or North America, or the US, whatever, and said, I want to do something with my life, and here's the opportunities that are there for me. And I think it just shows that when you don't, I mean, I don't feel in your story that you had any entitlement. I feel that the relationships that you're describing are very, like the first person, I think Taiwanese you're mentioning, mm-hmm. right? Over the fence. Hey, how you doing? You know, and he said, okay, take this opportunity. The person that hired you from that despicable, in my opinion, you said, okay, well, I stayed there for a year. It's not like you left after 12 days. You stayed there for a year. You gave mm-hmm. them the opportunity, and so on and so forth. So I think that in your story, there's so many people who are second generation, third generation, sometimes fourth generation, that don't appreciate, hey, it's okay. There are people that come, that leave everything behind, mm-hmm. come with two suitcases, and make a life. I feel that everybody wants everything right now. I mean, no different. Sometimes I'm a bit pushy as a leader, as mm-hmm. as the managing partner. I tend to, but it's not by desire. For me, it's really about performance. I'm very industrious. I have a hard time standing still. So, mm-hmm. so, but I think the, your story embodies so many different lessons. I think that looking at what you're doing and how do you level up without completely changing. So from what you're telling me is you started from a website to owning your own company in a very, I don't want to say linear, because it's not necessarily linear in the same space, but there was always flow, right? Oh, here's an opportunity. Okay, let's take that route. Oh, mm-hmm. here's another opportunity. Let's take that route. So I think the one thing that I don't know if it's ingrained in us is that curiosity for us, you know, part of a brand promise is ignite curiosity, crystallize thinking, and concentrate action. If you don't start by being curious about where you are and where you want to be, mm-hmm. I think that you've demonstrated that very, very well in your journey.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, you have to pursue your dreams. You know, it's like, I always knew that I would like to own my own company here. Mm-hmm. I didn't know when, you know, I knew that eventually I will have to do something on my own. And I had few chances and a few opportunities before that. As I mentioned, my wife, she's a chef. We mm-hmm. venture in a certain time of our life here in Canada, and we partnered with another good friend of us, and we opened a restaurant that didn't go well. So at least we always try, you know, we always, but it was not my field. You know, I was not a chef, so I didn't know exactly if that was going to be the what I wanted to do, but this is what I feel, this is where my passion goes, and yeah, this is what I've been doing, you know, the last, I would say 20 years, at least 18 years, you know, and I love having people come to Canada. It was a challenge for us during the COVID, as you know, with border closed. But now, since things were starting to reopen, you know, from the fall last year, we had a good winter. And but yeah, it's people. That's a good thing. People are wanting to travel again, and that's why we are.
People are exhausted. People are tired of all of this.
Exactly.
So let's talk about the title, the dream of it. Now, what's your next dream? What are you dreaming about now? Because I think if you stop dreaming, then that's, you know, that's the end of the story. So what's, Jose, what's your next dream?
Yeah, so I think there's an opportunity for the company to keep growing. You know, we're still a very small company. We have only two vehicles right now. we have one office. When I have one assistant that she's helping me, that I was able to rehire now before the winter time when things were starting to pick up again. Because unfortunately, all the staff and the person that was helping me for, I had to let everyone go and just continue working from home. And but things were, I knew that this was going to be eventually for a few months or, well, it took me more than a few months. It's only, it took a year and a half. But I think now it's gonna be like a tsunami wave. Now it's gonna come big, and things start getting open again. And I think this year, if they allow now cruise ships coming to Canada, and people start, even that they have to take the PCR test, but they have to land, and they can still land in Canada and visit this beautiful country, we will have more people coming this year for sure. So I have to be ready for that, because now there's a demand for the product, especially for what we do, private tours, because as you know, now people, they want to continue being on their own bubble. They don't want to be, you know, you don't want to jump in a bus now with 50 people that you don't know, where I think you still prefer to have your own private transportation or private vehicle to drive you around. So I know that there's going to be a potential of the kind of business what we do. And I want to maybe buy one or two more vehicles this year and train more new tour guys and have those ready, because also, unfortunately, during this COVID time, one of the main tour companies in Vancouver, they went down. So because they have, I don't know, over 25
A lot
cars,
of overhead, yeah.
And big office that they spend, you know, a really expensive office and things like that. So unfortunately, they didn't make it. So there's going to be a demand for that company that went under for smaller companies like us to do, you know, to keep growing and trying to get pieces of what these guys left behind, especially when things start getting busy again. So I think, you know, I want to continue growing, but I don't want to be, I'm very conscious about things, and I don't want to go crazy. I'm just going to, I always do one step at a time, you know.
You seem very pragmatic in your approach, and that's kind of like what you see. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I don't want to. If I do a step, I'll do it. I make sure it's firm, you know. The soil is firm; it's not moving around. So yeah, that's what I want to do. Like slow grow. You know, if we have to grow, I know eventually we will have to. But I don't want to be probably one of these monster company again. I want to keep it. What we do is very personal. You know, the things that we do and the little touches that we do are really personal. And that's what these people really appreciate that. You know, the travelers, the wealthy travelers, when you send them this box of cookies to the room, or, you know, some other things that we do is maybe our tour guys is with them at, let's say, a Capilano suspension bridge. And they take a picture of the guests crossing the bridge. They send that to the office. We print it, we frame it, and we send that to the hotel. And when they finish the tour, when they arrive at the hotel, they have the picture of the tour that they just did a few hours ago in their room. And those little things makes a big difference, you know. And I had one time one client from the UK. We did a picnic lunch at Lynn Canyon. Really nice picnic lunch. My wife, you know, she did a beautiful setup, and so I went there just to meet the family, took a picture, frame it, but I frame it in a nice, really nice size, and sent it to the room. And the guy was able to find out my phone number. And this was a booking that came through the hotel concierge. So the guy, he didn't know who I was or my phone number. He was able to find my name and number. And he called me. And he said, hey, Jose, my name is so-and-so. We just met you briefly at the picnic that you did for my family. I want to tell you that what you've done today is amazing. And I travel all over the world, and no one has ever done something like this before. And these are the things that really, you know, are valuable for us. And that was a nice, really nice comment. And I told him, please, I really appreciate your call, but please make sure you mention this to your hotel concierge, because he's the one that's going to, you know, refer me or send me more business in the future. But I really appreciate what you've done. And yeah, so that's, things like that are really special. And I have so many memories I can tell you. I can write a book if you want of all the different experiences and people that I've been lucky to meet during these 5 years. And these are really generous people. You know, even the people are they're wealthy, but they are really generous. They like to give things away. And now during the holidays or in the last, you know, 5 years, during holidays, I always get these messages from all these guests that I only had the chance to meet maybe one or twice in their lives. And they still send me a message, Jose, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Or we're sitting here in Florida, in our home in Florida. Anytime you want to come and visit us, feel free to come. Or things like that. You know, this is amazing.
So, you know, here's what you've done and what you keep on doing, Jose, is that you're intentional. Now, not all businesses can afford to do that. You're small or boutique one, so you can put a lot of attention. But I'm assuming that's part of the culture. Even if you had 100 employees, you would still be very intentional about the value that you bring to your customers. And I think that when the value is, if people are traveling, they want to feel safe. They want to feel like they're taken care of. They don't want to be taken advantage of. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you do something which is free of charge, of kindness of heart. People usually who are very wealthy, there's a lot of people who want something from them, right? Even if it's a picture, it's invasive, right? It's invasive, and they have to live this secluded life because, oh my goodness, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio, whatever, Matt Damon, you know, those are guys that I've seen here. Cause I take a limo service from my house to the airport all the time. I just can't stand. Jay is my driver. He knows where I am at. He knows where there's consistency and there's value in paying extra for the driver, because by the time I land at gate 72, and by the time I go through everything, I'm sitting in the car usually on average 12 minutes after I land.
That's awesome.
And so he knows where to get me. We know all the, and so the value and intentionality that you have behind that, I think, is what a lot of people who are listening should really pay attention to. Mm-hmm. No matter if you have 1,000 people or 2 people working for you, how you treat your customer, and you don't have to bend over backwards. If you're truly and honestly listening, Jose is not, what's the word I'm looking for? He's not bending over backwards. He's not at the begging call of, it's just, hey, you paid for a tour. I'm going to make it really nice for you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to treat you with kindness. I'm going to do little things that are going to matter. And I think that safety component, that little touch, those extra cookies, you know, you did a little bait and switch. Well, there's no more cookies, but there's some in your room. Yeah, exactly. So, that little picture, I think that they're here for the experience. So you've extracted that, in my opinion, truly and honestly very well. So see the value of the customer, emphasize on those little touch points that mean a lot, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's what these people liked it. And you know, you create that, they feel like, you know, I want to, the experience I want to pass, and I always share to my tour guys and to the people that work for me, is that we have to welcome these people and feel them that they are coming to see a friend.
Oh, that's a good one.
You know? Yeah. So it's like you treat them like friends. Hey, I haven't seen you in a while. Welcome to Canada. And then we'll show you around. At the end of the day, you know, we hug, you know, they smile to you, they shake hands and say thank you for this great day. And this is what we are trying to show to our clients, you know. And they also, what we like to do is you are our client for the day. You are our special guest for the day. Mm-hmm. You are not just our client number 335 mm-hmm. for the day. No. It's like Mr. So-and-so is your special guest. You're going to be treated like king or like queen or like a special, like our best friend, you know. Mm-hmm. And we're going to show you this beautiful city and this beautiful province. So that's what we've been trying to do. And yeah, you know, since we open reviews for our website with TripAdvisor and Trustpilot, if you look at our reviews, there's no bad review at all. Like you see only like 5-star reviews kind of pretty much. So that's good. You know, that's people take the time also to go online and do their reviews. And we are not begging them, oh, please do a review for us. People just find out where can I do a review for us? And they take the time to do it. So that's pretty special. You know, when you get to read all these reviews, you're just like, oh my goodness, they touch. And that's what you said. Now I know why I do this, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's something very rewarding. Even if you're building a pen or you're building a glass as your company, if somebody says, well, you know what? When I drink from your glass, it always reminds me of this. Isn't that something of value that you say, hey, listen, I put this out there, and because I put the energy out there and I pay attention to my customers and I see the value flow of that, it'll come back. I'm 100%. I dislike those places. Can you please leave a comment? I'll leave a comment if I feel like leaving a comment, because I know how valuable that comment is. I think I want to come back to your title. You know, the people that come to you, they have a dream. Maybe it's the first time that they come to Vancouver. Maybe it's their wife's time, or, you know, I'm taking it as a guy for me. You know, maybe it's my spouse's first time. I come for business all the time, but this is my spouse and my kid's first time. So I want to trust. I want to have somebody feel safe and really fulfill that dream, right?
Mm-hmm.
As if it was your own.
Exactly. And that's something that we've been trying to also achieve of the private tours that we do. So that's also, I look at the different companies that we have competitors, you know, for private mm-hmm. tours or just regular tours in Vancouver. And I said, what can we do that is different from them?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of them, they were doing, you know, City Tour, North Vancouver Tour, Victoria Day Tour, Squamish Day Tour, Whistler Day Tour, something like that. But there's so much other things that we can do here that we can offer. So what I did, I approached different seaplane companies or helicopter companies, and I was looking at the products that they have, but they didn't have the component of having somebody to connect them, you know, the guests from the hotel to the heliport or to mm-hmm. the seaplane terminal. So I'm doing that connection. So I go and I showcase this beautiful, you're going to have this, let's say, an ice cave tour, or we're going to do a picnic lunch in the Alpines, you know, in this beautiful Alpine lake overlooking a beautiful glacier behind. So things like that. And it's working really well for us. And because now we build something that is very unique mm-hmm. and not all of the operators are doing it. And because it takes a lot of time and energy to build that. And for us, for me, it was like a natural fit because I had the connections with all these different vendors in the past. So it's something that we've been trying to do different. And yeah, it's every trip is unique. It's not like we are doing, you know, hundreds of those same trips a day. No, it's just, and then when we land in this Alpine lake, there's nobody around you know, in hundreds of miles away. And, so it's amazing. so So we are trying to do that, and we're specializing in that kind of product. But also, you know, we also do the people that want to do a city tour.
We'll call it the regular kind of dog and pony show where you show people around.
Yeah. Because you still have to do that, you know?
Yeah, of course. Jose, I asked the guest all of these questions. If there's something that in your journey of being an entrepreneur and employee and coming up to becoming a CEO, what's the one piece of reference? What's the one book? What's the one movie that always inspires you or that you refer back to saying, well, I need to review this to be a good CEO? Do you have anything like that?
That's a good question. What movie would that be? Or book? I think just follow your instincts, you know. And I always said that for me, my philosophy is just you have to treat your staff as the same way that you feel you want to be treated by somebody else. You know, mm-hmm. I think is you have to be fair, you have to be honest, you don't have to lie, mm-hmm. And you have to be kind. You know, it's something that I learned all these years with the different employers that I had in the past, here in Canada and also in Mexico. And so you learn from everyone, you know, what mm-hmm. what qualities they have, but also what things that you didn't like it when you were working with these guys. So I learned a lot during this time, and I'm trying to be the best or the, you know, more like a friend for all my the people that work for me. You know, they can approach me anytime. My phone is open. They can call me anytime. And I think that's my advice. Yeah.
Yeah. Fabulous. Well, thank you very, very much, Jose, for being on the show. Your story is, for me, what fascinates me is because a lot of people feel that they need to be an entrepreneur from the start, or they're an employee and they can't become an entrepreneur. I think you're a perfect example of being able to weave in and out of entrepreneurship, in and out of employment. And it's really to achieve the dream that you have, right? You say, yeah. I'm not an entrepreneur. I'm not an employee. My dream is to this. And I will do whatever it takes to get me to my dream. And I'm not saying step on people and with being kind and compassionate. Here's my, there doesn't have to be a set path to achieve your dream. Do what you need to do when the opportunity shows up to get you there. And I think, Jose, you are the people that are listening. I hope that you really pay attention to really taking the time to say that not everything needs to be rushed. Mm-hmm. And I think that too many people in the entrepreneurial world, you know, they do and want to just go as fast as they can. And I think you have a lot to people from listening to your story have a lot to learn from. So thank you very much, Jose, for being on the show.
No, thank you, Martin. Thank you for the invitation. And thank you to all your listeners. And hopefully they can learn something from this story.
Absolutely. And then let's not be shy here. If you're listening, you want to come to Vancouver and you want to be treated like royalty and you want to be treated with safety and go for really cool adventures, then go into the information before. We'll put all the links to Jose and his company down below. So thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Martin. Thank you, and have a wonderful day.
Thank you. So with that being said, my name is Martin Hunter. I am the host of What CEOs Talk About, where, again, we can translate vision into frontline operations. So thank you very much.
Thanks for tuning in to What CEOs Talk About. Make sure to click subscribe to get notified about future episodes or check us out at www.whatceostalkabout.com.